morning, everybody. Glad y'all braved the weather to come out here. Good friend of mine for a while back. I was thinking about him when it rained, especially real hard. His name is Dave Johnson. He used to call this liquid sunshine. I had to stop and pray for him today when I was thinking about all this liquid sunshine we had going down around us today. So I don't know about you guys, but how many people are watching Olympics? Man, it is cool. You know what? No, I love it, man. Love the Olympics. Melissa and I are like all into it. And when I watched the Olympics, and it's really cool, I guess I love it, I get into it. But I was also thinking about this week in relation to the Olympics, about, you know, the times, and I always hate when I see, like, well, first off, let me say, I could never imagine what it'd be like to compete at that level, right? As an Olympic athlete or whatever. I mean, I competed in high school, but anything beyond that, I have no idea. Really, like, dedication and everything. But I was thinking about the times where you see people who, maybe you guys have seen this, where, like, stop too early, start celebrating, and then lose. It's, like, heartbreaking, man. So actually, if you Google it, just, you know, celebrating too early, and there's, like, all kind of videos and stuff. Well, I was thinking about that because that's kind of what, along those lines of what we're talking about today, as we sort of close these last 2 weeks in the book of Timothy, these next 2 weeks are talking about is like a message to those who are idle in the church. Just kind of come after us a little bit, just kind of a warning there, but we're going to just, hey, it is what it is, and we're going to just kind of cover what Paul says, but that's what it is, a message to the idle. And the sermon for today is about just keep pressing on, keep moving on. Hopefully you guys will get as much out of this today as I have this week. I've really loved all the things we've done through the Thessalonians, those two letters that Paul wrote to that church. But this week I've just really enjoyed and been inspired and challenged about what Paul had to say here. So if you stand with me, with your Bibles open, it's 2 Thessalonians, starting at chapter 3. We're going to go through verses 1 through 5. So 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, 1 through 5. It says, "Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you that you are doing, and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for this tremendous word. I thank you for bringing us here together. Father, for those who can't make it for whatever reason, I pray you just watch over them and bless them this morning. But Father, I pray that you will join us today. In fact, I pray that you will lead us today, lead our hearts and guide us with your precious spirit through the things that I say and the words that I use, but also, Father, on how it impacts our heart, how it changes us and transforms us to just honor you with everything that we do. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So this is kind of where we are. When he starts off, Paul is, he's really, the thing I want you guys to think about as we sort of move into this is, not only so we get some instructions we see from Paul, but just the context of where this is, I think, is fascinating. So Paul has just, he's written his letters to the church in Thessalonica. The first one, again, and was also inspiring, just telling them, like, hey, you guys have done a great job. Keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. God bless you for just all this persecution you're under, yet you're still this church is just kind of pressing on. The same kind of thing happened in the second letter. But Paul had just gotten done talking to them about the end times, right? About what's going to happen at the end, how the Lord's going to come back. He's going to got to eradicate the world of sin, and he's going to take over in this millennial reign. Like, all this is on his mind. And then he leads into this. I think it's so fascinating, not only what he's saying, but just the context of the whole entire letter. And that's where we're at, especially when you see, like, we get the verses 1 and 2. It says, "Pray for us. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from the wicked and evil men, for not all have faith." See, at this point, some people, when you're sort of thinking about the end times, and maybe even you in your walk as a Christian, it can get kind of easy to say, well, let's just kind of like hunker down, make sure my faith is okay, and just sort of ride it out, or just finish, you know, the game here until Christ comes. But that's not Paul. Paul is not saying that at all. In fact, he's encouraging them to pray for us. And he even goes through and he talks about, why do I need you to pray for us? He says that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored. See, there is no slowing down for Paul at all. Amen. He's like, to the very end, I'm in the fight. I'm in the game. And how inspiring is that as us as Christians, especially if you've been a Christian like for a while, or you know, you got to stay in the game. Like there is no retiring from being an active Christian. Amen. It's until the Lord takes you home. You're a Christian. You got a job to do. And we see that this is what Paul's praying about. And he's not only praying, like he's saying, Lord, that the Lord may speed ahead of us. Like he's like, I'm going to continue to be a missionary. I'm going to continue to advance the gospel, to preach the gospel wherever God sends me. And I want to be successful so I can plant the seeds here, bring the gospel here, then move on wherever God has me to go. And he has this reliance on the Holy Spirit that'll go before him and sort of soften the ground there. How many of y'all ever, like when you know you're going to go talk to somebody, or maybe it's like even a family reunion or just whatever it is on your mind. Well, for one, is it in your mind like, hey, I'm going to have a chance to witness when I get there? That should be like me the first thing. But like when you're in that moment, if you pray like, Lord, just go ahead of me, just soften the fertile, you know, the soil there, and just kind of get them ready for whatever you have for me to say to them, because I want to be successful when I get there and have this conversation with them. Like that's what Paul's doing. It's clearly like on his mind that I'm going to do the Lord's work. But God, I want you to go ahead of me so I can be successful. And he acknowledges that the problem is not everybody believes what I believe. There are some wicked, evil people out there. Not everybody has the faith, and there's an acknowledge of that, right? That's not going to slow him down. I see that to me that it's like so inspiring and challenging just to see the way Paul just views like his spot in the world, like what he is supposed to do. Now, it's easy for us to say, well, that's Paul. I mean, you know, man, look what God had Paul do. Paul got going all over the place, and he planted these churches, and Paul was like this amazing figure that God used so greatly. But, you know, we cannot let ourselves off the hook that way, because I'm going to say it all the time, right? If you're a Christian, you are a missionary. Amen? You are a missionary. If you're a Christian, you're a missionary. God is sending you somewhere to do something all the time. So if you're a Christian and you still have a heartbeat, you're a missionary, okay? So this should inspire and challenge you to say, wow, I need to have the same kind of heart as Paul, because God wants to use you as well. Now, maybe you won't plant churches all over the world like Paul did, but you're going to plant some seeds, and you're going to preach the gospel to people who need the gospel, amen? So if you are a Christian and you have a heartbeat, you're a missionary, and this should be your same exact heart. I want to do these things that Paul's doing. So how do we do this? How do we emulate Paul? How do we sort of have that mindset and move forward? And I think one is just acknowledging like that's who we are. But with that sort of mindset and understanding, I think that's a better way for us to take these things that Paul is saying to them. These encouraging words, these challenges that Paul's given them. So I think the first one we come across there is where Paul is saying we should be a prayer warrior. Be a prayer warrior. And Paul says right there, pray for us. He's asking them to pray for them. Now, when we talk about this, when I say, look, you should be a prayer warrior, you should pray for those who are in the ministry, or not just the ministry like me, like you're a missionary, that kind of ministry, right? Like the people that are doing things. It's easy to kind of get a sense where, I remember Raymond's not here, so I can't embarrass him because he's sitting here, but, you know, Raymond was like 5 years old, and Melissa and I just moved to our first house, which we ended up staying in for like 24 years. We're going to be a starter home. We just like never left, right? So, but I'm putting a fence up, and I think he's like around five. You know, so he's out there helping me, and I drive the nail into it a little bit, and he had his own hammer, and he'd finished driving the nail in like 200 feet of fence line, right? So this is it. It's the thing. It was awesome. And it's kind of cool, you know. You're like, oh, look, he gave him something to do, you know. Well, that's, and I did. I mean, I wanted him to kind of help me, but he can't, like, you know, do everything. He's just five. Well, I think sometimes when we think about this request to pray, we sort of think like we're the little five-year-old. Like, God's so sweet. God, you know, they're just giving me something to do. Like, that is so wrong when you think about your obligation and your opportunity to pray. Like, this is such a powerful thing. What you're doing when somebody asks you to pray for me, or when you're offering to pray for somebody, what that means is I want you to take an audience before God and give this petition to him on my behalf. That's what that means, amen? That is huge. You are being asked to go before God, the creator of everything, the one who is all-powerful, all-knowing, that you're going to go before him and bring this petition on somebody else's behalf. That is not a small thing. That's why I call it a prayer warrior. Man, I mean, so we, It is such an amazing thing to just be that person to say, I'm going to pray for you. And I mean it. Like, I'm really going to pray for you. I'm not just saying it. You know, like, God bless you when somebody sneezes, right? You're going to say, I'm going to pray for you. And you mean you're going to pray for them. This is what Paul's asking them to do. Pray for us. And so he's not just sort of throwing them a bone. He's saying, look, I'm on mission, and I want you to be on mission as well. And now there's certainly other things we're going to do, but absolutely we should be in prayer. You should be in prayer for your brothers and sisters. You should be in prayer for me, for others in this church, for the church as a whole. Like, what does God have this church here for me? Like, why is this church here right now on 30 Curtis Signer Road? It's for a reason. It's not just a place for us to come in and stay dry when it's raining, right? We're here for a purpose. And you should be praying for that purpose. Like, why am I here? Not only why is this church here, but why am I here in this church right now? So, I mean, so you have a purpose. God, if you're a missionary, God, through His Spirit, is sending you to these different places to do, well, now maybe you're just here for a short time. We kind of get used to that with the military. I mean, kind of coming and going. But in general, I mean, you may not be the military. Maybe you just moved here. Maybe God just has you here for a time to grow or to help somebody else grow. I mean, whatever it is, and then you move on. And, like, that's just how it goes. That's the way the Lord works. But you should be constantly in prayer for your brothers and sisters, for your leaders, for your churches. You should be in prayer constantly and engage in the battle as prayer. But also you're engaging, aware that just like with Paul, you're going to be, you want God to go ahead of you, but also you're going to be among people that, you know, they don't believe the same thing you do. You're going to have this opposition. The church is going to have opposition. There's times where you can see the devil tries to bring things into this, our church, and we have to fight against that. The devil doesn't want this church here. We talk about sometimes, I guess it's sort of, I mean, we'll get too sidetracked, but I've talked a few times that it's in the Bible about spiritual warfare. Well, listen, I'm telling you, spiritual warfare is real. There really is a God. There really is Satan. There really are demons. There really are powers outside of this realm that we see and can smell, taste, and touch. There are powers in that realm that really are opposing the power of God. That's a real thing. The Bible talks about it. You kind of think about that. It's easy to say, well, it's sort of this like fairy tale kind of things movies are made out of. But look, the Bible's not kidding. It says like there's these powers in a different realm other than we are that are trying to oppose the will of God. So when you are praying for things, you're engaging in this kind of battle, this thing that's taking place, this opposition. And I hope that you'll pray for me and for this church and for your brothers and sisters and be this prayer warrior as Paul has instructed us to do. Well, secondly, I think what we see is he has this instruction to believe in the Lord. To believe in the Lord. You think, well, I did that when I was saved. Well, that's true. It's a different kind of believe in the Lord, as we see in verse 3. Verse 3 says, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. He is faithful and he will establish you and guard you against the evil one. You know, throughout the Bible, there's all kinds of different characters that when you read their story, you find like they're doing something different than what they thought they were going to do, right? Like, but they were kind of going along in life. They had this thing sort of mapped out, and next thing you know, God's doing something in their life like totally different than what they may have originally thought. You can name all kinds of them, like Abraham and Moses and Esther, like all these different characters where God took them and did something totally different than what they thought. One of my favorite ones is Jeremiah. So Jeremiah, if you guys ever read the book of Jeremiah, this dude was raised in this line to be a priest. He knew what he was going to do. I'm going to grow up and be a priest. I'm going to do priestly things. I'm going to like have these different ceremonies. I'm going to lead them. And next thing you know, God calls him and says, well, you're not going to be a priest. You're actually going to be a prophet. And come to find out, not only are you going to be a prophet, you're going to be the prophet that is going to prophesy the doom of my people. They're going to hate you. In fact, they're going to want to kill you. And so totally different than what he had just maybe his as he was coming up thinking he's going to do one thing and God has him do something else, but God established him. Well, that's what we mean when I say to believe in the Lord. So you need to believe in the Lord when it comes to your story. And when we see here, when you see three different things that he talks about, the things we should believe in the Lord about, one is that the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. Now, when we think about faith, we kind of think about ourselves like our own faith. But you know, the Lord is also faithful as well. Time and again, you see Jesus saying, look, I'm about the Father's work. He's not going to be deterred. I'm going to continue the Father's work. I'm going to do this job. I'm on this. When Jesus had his disciples together, he's like, I'm on this mission. This is what I'm going to do. And nobody's going to change me away from that. Well, God is faithful. God is, you know, all of the activity of God is faithful. From the beginning of the fall of man and everything he's done through history, he's continued to press on against this. He said Jesus would come, and Jesus did come. He said Jesus would die on the cross and raise again. That's exactly what happened. And the Bible tells us about the things that will continue to happen. The church will never fail was the promise that Jesus gave to Peter. The church will never fail. He's faithful in that. So when we think about the faithfulness of God, it means we can trust him. And like when you're in your horrible moments or things are tough and you're in this maybe you're in this ministry or maybe just in a season of life where it seems like everything is coming against you, you can always count on the fact that, you know what, God's faithful. The Lord is faithful. He has a plan for my life. If I'm here, then that plan is still intact, and he's going to see me through this. Now, let me kind of a little caveat to that. That doesn't mean your life's going to be easy. Amen? That's not true. Your life may be really hard. Maybe that's the station God has for you, but God will never leave you, and we know that the Lord is always, always faithful. That's what he's saying. So when you think about, you know, just continuing on and pressing on and having that faith in the Lord, it's because the Lord is faithful. Also that he will establish you. He will establish you. Jeremiah never, I mean, he would never have gone out and said, I'm going to be a prophet and these people are going to listen to me. But he's a prophet because God said, no, you're going to be a prophet. Whatever God calls you to do, like that's really your big challenge, right? What has God called me to do? That's something you don't want to get paralyzed in that. You still want to move forward. But look, if God has called you to do it, that's what God has called you to do. There was, I mean, when I came, even in this role, and some of you who were here, remember, I mean, so, you know, as God called me to be a pastor of this church, and that was not an easy thing whenever I was first came here. It's like, I didn't like come from, I was already here, and we're just in this transitional period, and like, this was a tough decision for me. But at the end, this was my prayer. I said, Lord, look, if you don't want me to be the pastor of Warwick Baptist, I don't want it, because it'll be a disaster. But if you want me to be the pastor, there's nobody going to stop it. This is what's going to happen. And that's what I'm saying for you. Like you ultimately need to have that same gun. And it can be really hard. I'm going to tell you, it can be tough to sort of stay there and say, you know what? God is going to establish me where he wants me to be. And just say, look, God, I'm giving myself to you. If you want me to do this, as crazy as it seems or whatever, I mean, it may just like everybody around me says, well, this is not really for you. But if you know God's, that's what God's called you to do, then he's going to establish you. He's going to establish you. It's not any, so, you know, in a business world, you try to take these, you know, resumes, you try to find the person who's, you know, the most qualified. But that's not really the way it is in the church. You want to see that there's evidence of God at work and God has called this person to that. But look, even in this church, we've had people who are serving or are serving that, you know, there's not always seem like the most qualified person for that job. But it was clear that, well, God has called you to that place, and this is where you're going to serve. So they stayed there. And that's how it goes in the church. You're just seeking, like, what is God's call in your life? And if that's God's call in your life, we just kind of come around and help you build in that role and that service, whatever God has for you. God is going to establish you, not us. God will establish you. Well, thirdly, it says, he will guard you against the evil one. And again, I think the focus there is that he will guard you against the evil one. Now, we have work to do when it comes to guarding against temptation. I mean, you got to pick up some weight, amen? There are some things you need to do. Make some decisions and stay in there and make wise decisions and stay faithful. But I know in my own life, there are times I have prayed and still pray. It's like, Lord, I need you to show up because I don't know if I can continue on with this. This weight is becoming too heavy that I don't think I can bear it. Or whatever it is, like this is throwing me off. Lord, I want to serve you. I want to stay in and just follow the path you have for me. I know what the right answer is, but I know I cannot do this. God, if you don't show up, I'm going to fail. And it's that kind of prayer. I'm going to tell you, that prayer is okay. God's not mad at you for having that kind of realism and saying, like, God, if you don't show up, if you don't come through for me, I'm not going to be able to continue the way you want me to continue. I want to, my heart wants to, but I know my flesh and I can't do this unless you show up. That's that kind of plea. He will guard you against the evil one. Even, you know, we think about that spiritual warfare that takes place. You know, we see these trials coming at us, and some of us have some hard trials in our life, amen? But, you know, we don't see even close to the depth of what the devil has for us. We're guarded from that. As bad as we may think it may be, and as hard as we think life may be, and look, I'm not saying that lightly. I understand, like, some of us have had and continue to have, like, a really difficult trial in life. But that is nothing compared to what God is already protecting you from. That's what I'm saying. And you can trust Him and believe in Him that He will guard you against the evil one. You can stay in the game. You can stay in the fight because God is there for you. He is faithful. Which leads us to the next point, I think. Not only to believe in the Lord, but we believe in the Lord's plans for you. We believe in the Lord. We have faith in the Lord. We also have faith and believe in the Lord's plans for us. Verse 4 says, "And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command." You say, well, that kind of sounds like, you know, the faith in us. But listen very closely to what Paul says here. It's so profound. He says, "We have confidence in the Lord about you." He didn't say we have confidence in you. He wasn't dissing him, right? He wasn't like throwing shade or anything. He's like, look, our faith is in the Lord about you. We know you're human. We know that you can fail. And I think Paul can rightly say this because Paul's failed. We know Paul's story, right? So Paul's saying, I didn't say I got faith in you. He said, I got the faith in the Lord about you. And this morning I can say, I have faith in the Lord about you. How many of y'all can say that about each other, about yourself, or about me? I have faith in the Lord about you. I know the Lord has a plan for you, and I know the Lord is faithful. And that faithfulness is for a purpose. So I know that God's not going to leave you. If you just keep your faith in God and just keep pressing on and keep moving forward, I have faith in God that God's going to see you through. God's going to take you to where you want to be and where you want to go. That's what he's saying. We have faith in the Lord about you, and it's for this purpose. So what is that purpose? We know that, excuse me, so we know that the Lord dwells in us. We also know that he dwells in us for a reason. And that reason is that we do these amazing things for the kingdom. So when I'm telling you and challenging you, saying, look, why don't you do this? There's a cool thing about being a Christian is that because we have the Lord and because the Lord is on our side and the Lord establishes us and he's faithful, when we feel like we're failing, it's not really completely on us, right? It's like, look, God, I need you to come through for me. And I'm not like blame shifting here. I mean, it's a lot on us that we fail because we make horrible decisions. But God is also going to progress us at his pace, right? We may want to say, look, I want success now. I want this thing to happen now. I want to see results now. But thank the Lord, he kind of takes that pressure off of us. Really what we need to do is say, look, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to pray to have the faith to step through doors that he calls me to step through, and enough wisdom to not, you know, kick the door down that he's closed, right? And that's kind of what we do. It's really not that complicated if you think about it, amen? Just have faith in God and faith in his plan and in his plan for you. And just engage, but stay, above all else, stay engaged in what the kingdom is doing. Well, lastly, I think when we, this instructions and encouragement from Paul, I say that we would say that we pursue God-honoring spiritual growth. Pursue God-honoring spiritual growth. So why do I say that? Let's read the verse first. Verse 5 says, "May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ." May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. So all of it goes down to where is our heart. We can talk about our actions, the things that we do, but when all of this instruction, everything that Paul says for them to do, all this challenges that Paul gives these people in the church of Thessalonica, in the end, when he gives this as his closing, he's praying where God would direct their hearts. That's kind of where this needs to go. See, a lot of us can get really busy in activities. We can plan things. We can get involved with things. We can do stuff in the church and like do all these activities to stay really, really, really busy. And while the church is so much need, and we do have some need, Dennis talked about those today, and man, like with the children's department, wow, what a what a huge need there. You always, every church I've ever been in or around never has enough children's workers. Why is that? I don't understand. But it's a huge need. And there's all these other things that are going on where we have just these needs in the church and things, and like Dolly and Pika doing the English as a second language. Like this area, I don't know if you guys know this, but this area is like one of the main places where they place refugees. We have a huge concentration of refugees in this area, and I mean these are, man, they just want somebody to help them. If you guys know that whole process of refugees, I'm going to kind of go off on a tangent here, but it's like they don't just like they're in a refugee camp and say, hey, I want to go to the United States. Like this is a long process, and to get to the United States is like a long waiting list, like year or years. So by the time they get here and are put here in our community, like our neighbors, they have been wanting to come here for years. And it's such an opportunity because, you know, for so many decades, we would like the church to get together and raise all these monies to send missionaries overseas. Well, they're coming to us, right? They live next door to us, right? So anyway, I'm kind of passionate about that because we have such a need for refugees here, and the English as a second language is huge. I did the training one time, and I'm going to get back to the sermon, Justin, but I did this training one. Look, I'm dumb as a stump. I mean, I'm surprised I get up and, like, say intelligible languages in front of you guys, let alone teach English. I've not really my thing, but I did the training and found out, like, wow, I can do this. I could teach people English. Who'd have ever thought I could teach somebody English, but it's not that hard. So anyway, all right, back to your regular scheduled broadcast. This is kind of what I'm saying. Like, so when he talks about what we have to do, and you kind of stay in this game, and you grow, when he talks about you're growing your spiritual growth, and it's saying the Lord may direct your heart. So whatever activity that you're doing, I want you to hear this this morning. You're going to hear in churches like, hey, we need help in this area. Or you get to get like, where do you want to serve in this area? I just want to go on record for now saying never, ever, ever should that be understood by you that we just need a body. That should never be what you do. Now, there may be things like, I'm just chipping in. Like, this is not my, and especially when you're a smaller church, there's some things that God's going to call you to, like ministries. Like, that is your focus and your passion. And there's maybe some secondary things that maybe like, I'm just going to kind of help out over here. But none of those things you should see like you're just a body filling a place, right? Your heart needs to be into it. And there's so many things that take place in the life of a church, but every single one of those things need to be ordained and empowered by God. Your heart needs to be in it. So your spiritual growth, I don't want to just grow in my knowledge. I don't want to just grow in my activity in the church. I want to grow in my relationship with God. That was one of the most. So when Jesus was talking about the end times, and I think it's in Matthew chapter 7, it used to frighten me like forever. Where it said, "Look, and on that day, meaning the day He comes, the judgment day, many are going to come to Me and say, you know, Lord, Lord, didn't we baptize in Your name and cast out demons in Your name?' Listen, these are people that work in the church, right? Didn't we baptize in Your name and cast out demons in Your name, right? That's us in this church, us kind of people." He says, I'm going to stay away from Me. I never knew You. It's not ever going to be enough for you just to fill a body or to fill a place, right? You need to put your heart and soul into your growth in your church, in your growth in your relationship with God. You can never be a person like, I think I'm okay because I'm doing stuff in the church. I do X, Y, Z for the church. I have this title. I have my name's on a door somewhere. I mean, whatever. Like, I'm somebody in a church. Like, that means something. We love you, but that is not going to mean anything when Christ comes. Amen? Who you are in your church body is going to be nothing when Christ comes. Right? The only thing that's going to matter is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know Him? So that's what I think about when I come to this last instruction. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God, one, and to the steadfastness of Christ. So may the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God. The Bible says the most important command of all is to love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now that just means like everything about me loves God. And so how do you do that? Well, you pray like, Lord, let me love You that way. But I think it should be real, and you just analyze yourself. Do I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Is there some part of my life that I withhold from God? And you just got to be honest with yourself. And when you find, I'm not going to say if, because look, there's going to be parts where you're going to hold back. I do. And you say, look, God, help me to give that to you too. Help me to give you everything in my life, every part of who I am, my identity, like everything, let me give it to you. And secondly, lastly, it says the steadfastness of Christ. Wow, what a bar, man. To have the steadfastness of Christ. I want you to let that sink in for a minute. Paul said to them and to us that his prayer is that we will have the steadfastness of Jesus Christ. Wow. But that's what he's saying. Man, how do you compare to, I mean, I know it's like you don't even compare anything to Christ, but just think about this, about Jesus' endurance, like everything that he saw and everything that he had to come against, like all everything coming on him to try to make him, the devil himself trying to say, look, just give in and stop and just, things are going to be fine for you. And he's like, no, I'm here for a purpose. I'm going to keep pressing on. That's some steadfastness. That's like, I'm not giving upness, right? But that's what he's saying. So this is not a little thing. It's not just like, hey, I'm going to end this letter and just say, hey, you know, hope to see you soon. Love you guys. Bye. I mean, he's given these serious challenges. And what I want to say is we have these serious challenges for us as well. I don't know where you're at in your relationship with God. I don't know. I mean, maybe you've been a Christian for a long time. Maybe you just became a Christian. I mean, I don't know where you are like in your relationship, your season of life as a Christian. But if there is not already, there's going to be this pressure, I'm telling you, that to say, you know what, let's just kind of finish this thing. You know, let's just kind of, you know, hold where we're at and just, you know, kind of finish well or whatever and wrap this up. But I want to just encourage you to press on. I want to encourage you to not think like, hey, if we just kind of maintain, everything's going to be fine. The world needs you. This church needs you. To just get in the game and stay in the fight. Remember the movie Apollo 13? I love that movie. So there was the main flight director, I think his name was like Krantz or something, whatever his last name. Ed Harris played the person. And somebody had said there's going to be a disaster, and then Ed Harris, who played, I think the guy's name was in real life was Krantz, he says, no, this is going to be our finest hour. I'm telling you, like this just should be our finest hour as a church. I have no idea when the Lord is going to come, but we have an opportunity now to say this is going to be our finest hour. I want to do something for the Lord while I have the breath in me that everything I can do for the Lord, I'm going to do it. And I'm not going to hold anything back. And when I finally see God, I want to say, look, I gave you everything, and I thank you for allowing me to do anything. Today we're going to, again, the worship team is going to come up and pray, and that's my prayer for you is, man, wherever you are, is that you just determine on your heart you're going to give everything to God. You're not just going to say, I'm satisfied because I know the Lord and I know I'm going to heaven. Like, that should never satisfy you. And I'm praying this morning like you will not be satisfied with that kind of relationship with God. That is not the kind of relationship we must have with you. If you don't know the Lord, I pray you'll come up and I will pray with you. And I will introduce you to the Lord, and I will just walk with you through that, to start that relationship that God wants to have with you so badly. Maybe you're here this morning, you're saying, I really haven't had a great relationship with God recently, or maybe for a while. God wants you in that relationship. I want to pray with you. You can come under the side and just pray on the side as whatever. But just don't just settle with an okay relationship with God. That's not what he wants for you. That's what he has for you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, again for this amazing word. Father, I pray that, you know, it's, even in the few moments we just sort of talk about these things that Paul challenged the church with Thessalonica, these are also challenges for us. Father, I pray that this morning all of us will understand clearly that this is what we're supposed to be doing. That we should never settle for an okay relationship with you, that you've given everything for us. Well, I pray for everyone who hears your word, that they'll just see themselves as you do. And for those that have just either don't have the relationship or have settled for a lackluster relationship with you, Father, I pray that you'll just help them to be uncomfortable this morning. Help them not to be comfortable with the relationship they have and to seek something greater. to seek exactly what you have for them. I just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.